Just sounds like lots of sour grapes to me.
No, ma'am.
It actually does.
He hoped the breakup would be fair.
Did you want to take the motorcycle with you?
She told me her new boyfriend wanted me out of the household. He was going to take the motorcycle.
But some battles aren't worth fighting.
And you were out of the house when the boyfriend was back from Afghanistan.
She told me it was going to be issues, so I left, ma'am.
Good for you.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Joanna Wyckoff is suing her ex-fiancé, Melvin Barkley, for loans to buy a motorcycle, make a mortgage payment, pay his tuition, and buy a truck.
Order. All rise. Case number 66 on the calendar, the matter of Wyckoff versus Barkley.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parsons have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Ms. Wyckoff, the defendant was your fiancé. You broke up, according to what I've read, in the fall of 2010. You believe he owes you some money.
Yes.
First, you believe he owes you some money for the balance of a motorcycle loan.
Yes.
You have the motorcycle.
Yes.
When was the motorcycle purchased?
The motorcycle was purchased April of 2010.
Did you have a motorcycle prior to that, Mr. Barkley?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you still have that motorcycle?
No, ma'am, I don't.
What happened to it?
Initially, when we went in for the loan, I was gonna do it by myself. I wasn't happy with the terms, ma'am. I was gonna back out of the loan. Joanna then stated that she wanted to make me happy and she would get the motorcycle herself.
What happened to your motorcycle?
We included,
You used it as a trade-in?
Yes, ma'am.
Isn't that easy to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, you used his motorcycle for a down payment?
Yes.
How much was the motorcycle?
The motorcycle was financed at $9,285.
How much did they give you for your motorcycle?
I believe it was about $2,000, ma'am.
No, ma'am. $1,040.
And you have the motorcycle that he left when he left in December?
He left November 21st.
Now, let me tell you what you have to do with it. You have to sell it.
I can't, ma'am. He left in damaged condition.
No, listen, Ms. Wyckoff. You have to sell it, and then you have liquidated damages, which he may be responsible for if I don't believe his story, which is you wanted this new motorcycle as much as he did. You wanted to be able to ride together. That's his defense. Be that as it may, you cannot keep the motorcycle and get the loan. Do you understand that?
I understand that.
What the law requires you to do is have fixed damages. And the only way to have fixed damages is to sell it. And then the difference between what you get for it and the loan are your damages. Now, certainly if you intend to do that, I would get him to sign off on the sale, because if you're going to sue him for the difference, then it would be wise for him to agree that this was the appropriate sale price. But you can't sue him for the balance of the loan and keep the motorcycle.
I understand that, ma'am, but he left in damaged condition. No one
wants... You keep saying that, and I keep saying to you, you have to sell it.
Yes, ma'am.
Whether it's damaged or whether it's in perfect condition, you have to sell it. You have to fix your damages.
So I've been paying on the loan since he left, but we had a written agreement before he left. I had text messages and emails.
That's a lie. There's no written agreement.
Just a second. Yes?
I had text messages and emails saying that he'd keep the payments going on his motorcycle, and he would get financing in his own name.
Well, that's great, but he didn't do that. You have to sell it. And if what you want are the payments from the time he left, December, January, February, March, and April, five months, and you have not used it because it's unusable.
I have not driven it. I can't drive a motorcycle.
And he says that he would make the payments on it, and you've made the payments for him. That's a fixed damage. Did you want to take the motorcycle with you?
No, ma'am.
You decided to leave it there. Why?
Ma'am, we had a conversation prior to November of us separating. We had made an agreement that I was going to stay on to December. She told me her new boyfriend wanted me out of the household, something about he was going to take the motorcycle, so I left. It wasn't my motorcycle. It's in her name. I didn't agree to it in the first place.
Is it in your name?
The motorcycle is 100% my name, yes. But ma'am, we had an agreement. We were engaged.
Next, what next do you think he owes you for?
Next, he owes me for a loan for the down payment of his Tundra, $1,000.
Okay. Just a sec. When did you loan him? And I use that word till I make a decision. The $1,000 for his truck down payment, March, in what month and year?
March 21st, 2010.
Did he pay you back?
No.
So after he didn't pay you back anything on the truck loan, because he didn't have money to buy a truck loan, then you went ahead and purchased a motorcycle the next month.
Ma'am, he got a raise of $2 an hour. He said he was going to use his student refund and his raise to pay me back.
That's another lie as well.
I have also emails to prove
just it. A second. In March, don't show me emails. In March, he didn't pay you anything of 2010. April, May, June, July, August, September, and October, he didn't pay you anything back. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you lived in a house with him. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's your house.
I financed in my name. It was our house.
Just a second. Is the house in your name?
It is in my name.
Perfect. I mean, you're not married. You did the right thing. And the financing is in your name.
Yes, ma'am.
Who paid the mortgage payment in April, May, June, July, August, and September?
Melvin did.
So you were living in a situation where he was paying certain expenses on the house.
Yes, ma'am.
One of them is the mortgage.
Yes, ma'am.
And how much is the mortgage?
$827.
And what other things were you paying for in the house, if anything, Mr. Barkley, during the months that I've just outlined?
I was paying ADT, ma'am. Which,
what's that?
That's an alarm system. I was paying for the trash. I was paying for our cell phones.
And were you paying for that out of your individual account or joint account?
Individual account, ma'am.
So you never had a joint account?
No, ma'am.
So far, Ms. Wyckoff, I don't think that you made lots of misjudgments. So far, you bought a house that's in your own name. Bird, where is that fly swatter? Right here. I got it. You got yours, I got mine. Together. Fly doesn't stand a chance. So far, you have a house in your name. You had a motorcycle in your name. You still have the motorcycle. You still have the house. And he helped defray the costs of the house by paying a reasonable share of the expenses of the house.
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you pay on the house?
All the utilities.
Just a second. You paid the utilities.
All the car insurances.
Car insurance.
All the food in the house, and feeding him is not cheap. I paid everything. Our vacations came out of my account. His children's clothing came out of my account.
Well, those are gifts.
Those were gifts.
Mr. Barkley, I've already explained to her why she has a problem with this motorcycle.
Yes,
it's in her name. It's her motorcycle. She can do with it what she wants to do with it. And if she sells it and if she can convince me that there was some sort of an agreement to pay for it after she has liquidated damages, I'll hear her. Now, tell me about this $1,000 down payment that she made on a truck. For you.
The $1,000 down payment was, she decided that we needed a truck for the household. We was gonna do some work on the house. She paid half of the down payment. I paid the other half of
it. How much was the down payment?
It was $2,000, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
I'd like to see that, Mr. Barkley.
Okay, ma'am, I don't have it. All I have is the payments that I made on the truck and paid off as well.
I'd like to see it.
Ma'am, he traded in a Mustang 2008 for the Tundra, and they needed a $1,000 down payment.
Just a minute, he traded in his car.
A car I co-signed for him.
Did he pay it off?
It was added on to the Tundra, the negative equity.
Who paid off the Tundra?
I paid the Tundra off, ma'am.
Is that correct, Ms. Wyckoff?
Yeah.
Then what do you think you're entitled to back? Your
I'm entitled to my $1,000 down payment back.
No, you're not. When did you sell the Tundra?
Sold the Tundra actually last month. I actually traded in and got a newer vehicle.
And how much did they give you for the Tundra?
The Tundra actually took a loss on it. I took a $10,000 loss on it.
Explain that to me.
Well, the Tundra had negative equity into it, so in order for me to get another vehicle, it added a $10,000 down to the new vehicle.
Well, that's what you did with the last vehicle.
I didn't want the truck, Your Honor. After we separated, I wanted to get rid of it.
That's not true. He wanted bigger, better things.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
This sounds like lots of sour grapes to me.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, it does. It actually does.
And later today.
I gave notice the day before I moved out.
And what did you tell her?
I gave her.
Tell me what you told her.
I'm sorry.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joanna Wyckoff says ex-fiancé Melvin Barkley owes for several unpaid loans. Melvin admits he received financial help from Joanna, but says he never agreed to repay it.
Ms. Wyckoff, the last part of your lawsuit, because this sounds like lots of sour grapes to me.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, it does. It actually does. The last part of your lawsuit deals with December's rent.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a new boyfriend?
No,
ma'am. Did you have one in December?
I had a boyfriend.
Just, my question is, did you have one in December?
I had one in November.
And what was his name?
His name was Alan.
In November, was Mr. Barkley still living in the house?
Yes.
And in November, Mr. Barkley still paid the mortgage. And you had a boyfriend.
He had a girlfriend.
It's not his mortgage.
That's correct.
It's your mortgage. Did your boyfriend live in the house?
No, he was home from Afghanistan. He was only in Atlanta for 2 weeks. He wasn't even at the house. He never came by. He never once came to the house.
Just a second. When was he home from Afghanistan? In November?
Thanksgiving week.
Okay. And did you see him Thanksgiving week?
Yes.
Did you have a girlfriend, Mr. Barkley, living in the house with you?
No, ma'am.
But you lived in the house in November?
Yes, ma'am.
And when did you move out?
I moved out November 17th. I have the lease that I signed for my new apartment.
I'd like to see it, please.
I'm sorry, November 18th, ma'am.
And you paid for the entire month of November?
Yes, ma'am.
And you were out of the house during Thanksgiving week when the boyfriend was back from Afghanistan?
She told me it was going to be issues, so I left, ma'am.
And you didn't pay December's mortgage?
No, ma'am.
Good for you. Now, you broke up with each other sometime in the fall. September, October, what month?
Actually, our first breakup was in June when he called off the wedding.
Just a sec. I don't care when the first one was
okay.
Or the second one. Where was
October.
The last one?
October 16th.
Okay. So he had paid for October's mortgage payment where he was living.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid for November. Now, when did you find this boyfriend in Afghanistan?
It was a friend. We had talked. Melvin broke up with me October 16th. You know, I posted on my Facebook that I was single.
So that you found someone who then came home in November.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved out in mid-November. And the boyfriend came back from Afghanistan for Thanksgiving.
To his family's house.
All right. Very good. Ms. Wyckoff, say goodbye. You don't have a lawsuit. You want to sell the motorcycle and then convince me that there was some sort of an agreement?
Ma'am.
Listen to me carefully. This motorcycle is in your name.
Yes, ma'am.
Your loan.
Yes, ma'am.
You can't keep the motorcycle and sue him for the loan. Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am. But can he pay for the damages?
No. You have to sell the motorcycle as it is, and then if you can convince me or another judge that it's his responsibility to pay for the difference, just like the Tundra, when you were living together and you were going to get married, you know, you were going to use for the house and your family, and that didn't work out. So he paid off the Tundra, took a loss on it, because that's what happens with things. Cars, motorcycles don't appreciate in value. Cars and motorcycles depreciate in value.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're always going to take a loss when you sell it.
Yes, ma'am.
Whether it's damaged or whether it's not damaged. So you have to sell it and then say there is a shortfall. This is what your loan was. This is what you paid. This is what we sold it for. You still owe $1,300. You're still going to have to convince me that that wasn't the deal, that the deal was not. You were going to keep the motorcycle and this new guy and you were going to use it. But first thing you have to do is sell it. The second thing that you talked about was the $1,000 deposit that you allegedly put down on the Tundra, which depreciates in value. You want your whole deposit back. It doesn't work that way.
But it was a loan.
It wasn't a loan.
And we had loaned many times. The first motorcycle I had loaned him $3,500 for, he paid me back. I had loaned him money many times. He always paid me back until the Tundra.
And the motorcycle. And the rent.
And this loan, yes.
Goodbye. It's over. What happened to the boyfriend in Afghanistan?
It was just...
Got it. Bye.
Parties are excused when they step out.
I think the judge agreed with what I said. I mean, I don't owe her anything.
He damaged it. I can't sell it. No one wants to buy a dropped motorcycle.
We were in a relationship. We bought things for each other. It didn't work out. You don't see me in here trying to sue her for things that I bought her.
He decided that he wasn't ready to get married. He wanted to move out. That was fine.
I mean, I'm at the point now where I just want to get on with my life. She get on her life.
I just want this motorcycle out of my garage. I can't use it.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Barnes versus Espinoza. Step forward, please.
24-year-old Roxanne Barnes is suing her former roommate, 24-year-old Sarah Espinoza, for breaking their apartment lease.
Ms. Barnes, the defendant was a roommate of yours. According to your complaint, you signed a lease in August of 2010. How much was the rent?
$689 total.
And you were each paying half of that rent? Your complaint alleges that she moved out and she owes you rent for the months that she wasn't there.
Yes, ma'am.
When did you move out, Ms. Espinoza?
I moved out on the 23rd of March.
And you paid March's rent?
Yes, ma'am.
So you have April, May, June, July, and August. 5 months that if you lived there, you would be responsible to pay $344.50. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, when you moved out in March, what precipitated the move? And when you gave notice to Ms. Barnes that you were leaving?
I gave notice to Ms. Barnes probably the day before I moved out.
And what did you tell her? Tell me what you told her.
I'm sorry. I told her I was going to be moving out and I'm going to be paying the next month's rent until she finds a roommate to move in and take my room. I thought that would be a lot better than me finding someone to take the room. I thought I'd pay the rent and give her the option to find someone that she wants to live with.
And?
And before the first of the month came for me to pay that rent, she had already filed the lawsuit against me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Where do you work?
I work at a coffee house called Spider House.
So the landlord can enter a judgment and take whatever you owe right from your salary. Spider House, you know where that is?
Yes.
Great.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 24-year-old Roxanne Barnes is suing her former roommate, 24-year-old Sarah Espinoza, for breaking their apartment lease.
Now, when did you file the lawsuit?
I filed the lawsuit on the 25th.
Of March?
Of March.
Why?
The reason why is because she sent me a text message saying she had already found a place, and she did mention that she would pay rent for April, and I have the text message.
No, she says she would pay rent for April, and she didn't pay it.
She didn't pay.
Okay, so that's $344.50, minimally for April. Now, what efforts did you make to get a new roommate?
First off, the reason why I filed so early was because I did not get a response from Sarah from the 20th until
It's irrelevant. She owes you minimally that. And if you don't find a roommate, are you staying in the apartment?
I've moved out.
When did you move out?
On the 15th of April.
Where did you move to?
I'm staying with a friend.
What amounts of money did you pay to the landlord in April?
In April, I paid my half of the rent, which is $345, and then because her half wasn't paid, I ended up paying her $345 plus late fees.
I'd like to see that. You paid her half, and her half with the late fees were $455, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is your rent. Now, what are the fees do you claim you paid to the landlord?
The fees that are due are a rent concession chargeback because we moved in with a rent concession of $689.
Do they have a judgment against you?
No.
Have you been contacted by their attorney?
No.
So far she owes you $455. Where do you work?
I work at a coffee house.
You work at what coffee house?
It's called Spider House.
And how long have you worked there?
I've worked there for 1 year.
You worked there as?
Bartender, barista.
And you're paid a salary plus tips?
Mm-hmm.
So the landlord can enter a judgment and take whatever you owe right from your salary, correct? Spider House, you know where that is?
Yes.
Great.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Closed captioning is provided by. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Okay. Now, when the landlord comes against you for additional fees for moving out, because she moved out, she couldn't do the whole thing herself, the landlord will probably take care from you. And are you employed?
No, I'm a full-time student.
Well, it may just be that the landlord's going to come against you for that whole amount of money.
Your Honor, I made a phone call to the apartment complex, and I made arrangements with them to pay off what I owed them for my half of the rest of the lease.
That's great. So you have no problem. So all you owe her is $455.
Yes, ma'am.
That she paid in April. How easy this is. Wonderful. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $455. Thank you very much.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
We went to high school together. We became really good friends when I first moved to Austin, and then our relationship kind of fell when we started living together.
We were friends, but she's a flake.
Relationship went really weird. Really bad attitudes. back and forth, left and right.
She has no sense of communication, and that's why we're here.
I've been locked out of my apartment a few times, probably 10 or 12 times.
That's a lie. She wasn't locked out of the place 12 times, and it wasn't malicious intent.
I work late, and I come home. Don't really live in the nicest neighborhood, and I'm locked out. It's a nice surprise.
Things happen. You stroll in at 5 in the morning. Things happen.
I thought, you know, maybe it was unintentional. She didn't mean to do it. But after, like, the fifth time, I started to kind of understand.
It's just a simple matter of the lock getting stuck.
It is what it is, and it's sad to see a friendship lost, but that's what happens.
Oh, I don't think there's a friendship there anymore at all.
There was no friendship. She used me for a place to stay, and when she found another opportunity, she skipped out.
I think it's called Don't Live With Friends.
Never move in with flakes ever again.